Welcome to Sermons from San Diego, a podcast of preaching at Mission Hills United Church of Christ. I'm the Reverend Dr. David Barr, but please just call me David. I invite you to listen and come along as we try to follow the teachings of Jesus and the wisdom of Scripture to build a world that is open, inclusive, just, and compassionate. And now for this week's sermon from the book of Acts, chapter 5. In some churches, when the liturgist finishes reading a scripture passage, they will often say, "The word of the Lord," and the congregation knows to respond, "Thanks be to God." This is one of those passages where the response is more likely to be, "Thanks be to God." Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property and gave the proceeds to the apostles to care for the needs of their community. Why? Well, the previous chapter explains, in chapter 4, the community of believers were united as one. One heart, one mind. No one said, "That's mine, you can't have it." No, they shared everything. So there was not a person in need among them. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who owned fields or houses sold them and brought the proceeds to the apostles as an offering, and the apostles distributed it according to each person's need. This was such a remarkable characteristic of the early Christians that this is already the second time in the book of Acts that the author, Luke, has told this story. Back in chapter 2, following their experience of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, all the believers were united as one, one heart, one mind. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to their community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Sound familiar? Must be important. And then Barnabas is specifically lifted up as an example. Barnabas, whose name means encourager, owned a field, sold it, brought the money, and placed it under the care and authority of the apostles. What an inspiration he is. The next word, however, is however. So, yay, Barnabas, and then let me tell you, however, about Ananias and Sapphira. They saw the example of Barnabas and all the others, and they too decided to sell a piece of property, but this husband and wife duo decided they would hold back a piece of the proceeds for themselves. Now, to be clear, that was their right to do. Peter said so. He told Ananias, "That was your property to keep, and after you sold it, it was your money to do with as you wanted." But Peter could tell there was some kind of deception going on. What was it? Peter said they lied to the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not a really helpful explanation for us, but Ananias understood, and when he heard it, dropped dead. He wasn't struck dead, he dropped dead from a conscience attack. He was wrapped up, carried out, and buried. A very frightful and puzzling conclusion. And now we say, thanks be to God. This is not an inspiring story. I mean, it could have been. It seems like the perfect opportunity to teach about two central ideas in Christianity: honesty about our actions and forgiveness. For example, the story could have been that when Ananias was confronted by his deception, it broke his heart. He realized his error and he begged forgiveness. He promised to change his ways, and he did. Look what this man became. He became the greatest philanthropist in history. Now, instead, in our story, he realized what he'd done. I don't mean to laugh, but... and then he died. He dropped dead. Where is the opportunity for redemption in that? This is not an inspiring story. And it's not even the end. It gets worse. 3 hours later, Sapphira arrived. She didn't know that anything had happened to her husband. Peter said, "Tell me, was this the price you were given for your field?" "Yes, that's the price." And Peter replied, "Well, how could you scheme with each other?" But he doesn't specify exactly what the scheme was, leaving us again to wonder, what was this big, real offense. But it was bad enough that when confronted with it, she too immediately dropped dead, just fell to the ground. Another conscience attack. They were under no obligation to sell. And the problem wasn't that they held some back, which they were free to do. So what was the problem that resulted in such extreme action? My theory is that they pretended to give the entire proceeds of the sale to receive recognition for their tremendous generosity. They pretended. They pretended it was because the Holy Spirit had inspired them to give, just like Barnabas and all the others. But in fact, what they wanted was praise for their acts of generosity, which they were, just not quite as generous as they wanted people to think. Their motivation was status, not love. In the origin story of the church, they were the first pretend Christians. And you know what? I don't actually mean that as an accusation. It's a description. You know, we're well aware of the declining rates of church participation around the country. It's not all a bad thing. It just means people don't have to pretend anymore. Right? For a long time, some people's motivation to belong to a church had more to do with cultural expectation than religious orientation. Maybe some family pressure. Everyone was supposed to belong to a church. And now they're free not to. It's not that they had bad intentions, but now, since they won't be judged for not going to church, they're not going to church. And please understand, I'm not trying to cast blame. But some people felt that they had to pretend to be Christians to be accepted. Isn't honesty and freedom better for everyone involved? Now, I would suggest to them that belonging to a church is a good thing. Participating in religious rituals, practicing generosity, giving kids a moral grounding, caring for our neighbors and being cared for by our neighbors. All of these things bring tremendous meaning and value to our lives. You know, in the course of life, we often like to pretend that we're at the center of the world. And you know what? It's a really good thing to be reminded on a regular basis that we are not. So, why did Luke tell this story? Of all the important things he could have chosen to say about the origins of the church at the very beginning, why include this less than inspiring story about Ananias and Sapphira? And I'm sure there's plenty of reasons. But the one that speaks to me today was his concern for the appearance of hypocrisy among early Christians. This couple wanted to look generous. They sought out status, but they were not acting out of love. And that's not Christianity. They weren't misers or cheapskates. They were imposters, pretenders. And that would be bad for the church. Luke cautions the early church to be careful, because hypocrisy can be deadly. You know, the kind of pretend Christianity that is killing the church in America. But don't blame people who are leaving. They are reacting quite understandably and logically to an inexplicable form of Christianity that seeks privilege for itself, professes love for authoritarians, embraces the denial of science, a distrust of women, and the demonization of immigrants. It's all in such stark contrast with descriptions of the early church characterized by its remarkable generosity and sacrificial concern for all who have need. That's why I have such gratitude for churches like this. It's not perfect by any means, but it is trying, aspiring to love and understand and to serve. From the bottom of my heart, please hear my gratitude for your genuine generosity and compassionate spirit. The question, what is my motivation? I give thanks for your sense of mutuality and responsibility for the care and well-being of our congregation, as well as your orientation to our community around. What do the people around us need? It is churches like this that many of us depend upon to remain in Christian community at all, or we might be among the formerly churched. Not that we should be overly self-congratulatory, but it can't be stated enough that churches like this matter. And we shouldn't keep it a secret. Okay, so I know I've thrown some arrows at so-called pretenders. So let's turn our gaze inward and be reflective. Are we as loving and accepting as we profess to be? Are we pretending to care? As individuals, are you using our resources to address human need in our communities? Not for recognition, but the requirement of love insisted upon by the Holy Spirit. Am I trying to hold back what the Spirit is inviting me to share? Because I don't want to just pretend to be a Christian. Do you?